As we begin this morning, let me just ask you a serious question real quick. How do you handle disappointment? How do you handle disappointment? I remember the first time I experienced disappointment. I was probably between three or four. I don't remember the age. But I remember it very well because my dad took me to my first South Carolina football game. We were living in D.C., and so we went to see them play in Maryland. And we were playing against the Terps, and they beat us that day. It was snowing. I remember it was cold, and it was snowy, and we lost. And I remember driving back home, and my dad had a Volkswagen Beetle at the moment, at the time. And I remember this is before you had car seats, and I don't think you even had to have a seatbelt on. I don't know, but I didn't even have a seatbelt. I just remember I stood up the whole way and held the little bar right in front of me. If you know a bug, they have that little bar that kind of comes out on the passenger side. And I just stood there and held the bar, and I cried the whole way home. We lost 21-19. One of many disappointments being a Carolina fan to come. But that was not the only time I experienced disappointing in my life. And it's probably not the only time you probably experienced disappointing times as well when you've been disappointed. How did you handle, or how do you handle disappointment? You know, disappointment comes in all different sizes. Anytime our hopes are not realized, our expectations or our desires are not met, we feel disappointment. Disappointment can be a passing emotion, kind of like when you get home and you realize there's no more Oreos in the cabinet. Or it can be permanent, where something has disappointed you that just remains with you all the time, shadowing your reactions to everything. We all experience disappointments for many different reasons. Hear me on this. In itself, feeling disappointment is not a sin. But how we handle disappointment is important. Disappointment is so common in the Bible that it was really hard for me to choose between so many examples in the Bible to say, okay, I knew I wanted to preach on disappointment, but okay, how do you find the right example? Because there's so many. I mean, think about it. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth, all experienced disappointment. Day after day, month after month, as they waited and tried to have a child and could not have a child, they experience disappointment. Men like Job and Joseph experience disappointment. They experience disappointment with God and with people. Elijah, the prophet, experienced disappointment after one of his greatest times or times of ministry with God, where he was on the Mount Carmel and he prayed and called down fire and it consumed the altar, and people were saying, yes, the God of Israel is our God, and they went running after the false prophets and put them to death. And Elijah was expecting the whole nation now to have a great revival, but it didn't happen. Instead, Jezebel, the queen, put a bounty on his head. His disappointment was so great that he wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to die. But this morning, I'm choosing the passage from Exodus 15. And we'll see how Israel handled disappointment. In verse 22 of Exodus 15, it reads, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went to the desert of Shur. For 3 years they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Now, just realize what happened. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and one of my favorite miracles in the Bible, had just happened. You remember? They were traveling out of Egypt, and Pharaoh had let them go, and they were making their journey, and then all of a sudden Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his army after them in their chariots, and they were coming after the Israelites, and they got right to the Red Sea. And what were they to do? Because they couldn't turn around and go back, because here they were coming and they were trapped. And they looked at the water and they looked at Moses and said, "Moses, why'd you bring us here to die?" And Moses began to cry out to God, and God began to speak to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of your Lord." And then Moses took his staff and stretched it out, and the Red Sea opened and parted. And the ground was dry, which is a huge miracle in itself for dry ground, because how in the world could those their carts that they were pushing get across wet mud? How could the elderly made it across that dry, if it was muddy ground, how would they have made it across? But it was completely dry. I just wonder, with the walls of water up high, how the kids went through. I imagine some of the kids had to touch the water. I mean, you know, they had to go, woo, they're kind of going through. And then any fish come, like at SeaWorld, you know, come up, and you look at them through, like, the, you know, SeaWorld, you got the glass, and there was no glass, which is water, you know. Then they see the fish, and they're waving at them, you know. That would have been, like, really cool, don't you think? I'm sure it was scary, too. This isn't supposed to happen. How's this water holding up? Only God could do this. They made it all the way to the cross. And then the chariots came. And you know the story. The world went for years. They doubted that miracle was even true. They said, "Oh, it was just, the water was really low when they crossed," and blah, 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 blah. They've actually now have gone recently, within the last, I don't know, maybe 20 years, actually found chariots, iron chariots down in the bottom of that sea. Because what God says happened, happened. They made it across the Red Sea. And they were worshiping, they were praising God for what happened. And then we read in verse 22 again, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went into the desert of Shur." Let me just give you something free of charge this morning. Something that's really not a part of my message, but it's really good, and I just want to throw it in real quick. Sometimes to get where God is leading you, He takes you through a desert, doesn't He? And in that desert time, you learn to trust God, because it's there you see God provide. Even the hard times. But what was their problem? You read the rest of the verse, and it says, "For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water." Israel's main problem? They couldn't find water. And that's the problem. By the way, a normal person can last without water for 21 days, you know? It's only been 3 days. But they're getting thirsty. And they don't see any signs of water. And they come to this water that's in the desert, and they get there, there's this body of water, I don't know if it was a spring or what it was, but this body of water. And they get there, and they're thirsty, and they haven't drank, and they come running up to it, and they bend down, they scoop the water up, and they go to drink it, and they spit it back out because it's bitter. It just tastes nasty. It doesn't taste good. And then we read in verse 23, "But when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." Can you taste their disappointment? No pun intended. They were thirsty. They could have been walking through a desert. They had been walking through a desert. Their mouths were dry and they're thirsty. And they wanted some cool water. And this water was bitter to drink. Now let me just kind of really quickly paint the two pictures. Because it's really neat to kind of see if you step back and you remember what had already just previously happened. They had just come to a big body of water. The Red Sea. And yeah, they had a big problem when they got to the Red Sea. Because now it was acting as a trap. I mean, it had them cornered between them and the Egyptians. And they didn't have boats across it. How were they going to get across this body of water? There was no way to get across this body of water. And now 3 days later, they're standing in front of another body of water. This time, this body of water is something they need to drink, but they can't because it's bitter. And they shake their fists at Moses and at God because they had no water that's drinkable. And it's bitter. What blows our minds is, when you think about it, is they were standing between two bodies of waters within 3 days. Both cases, they needed a miracle. And God had just done a miracle with the great body of water, the Red Sea. And now they're at another place where they need a water. And instead of thanking God for what he did at the Red Sea and asking God to move in this situation, because there was no visible answer to them of what God could do with this bitter water, they begin to moan and complain. They turn their disappointment into whining and complaining. Because they assumed it was doom and despair. Yet they had just seen God do the miraculous. They had just witnessed God do what no one else can do with water. Not a water like the Red Sea. And if he can do that with that water, he can do anything with any water. They should have learned that lesson. So here's the main point this morning. It's really simple. When we become disappointed, here's the reason why. Because we forget what God has done for us in the past. When we become disappointed, it's because we forget what God has done for us in the past. Let me get to the elephant in the room very quickly. I realize that today is my last Sunday as your pastor. But 6 years ago, you were in need of a pastor. And God did a miracle and sent Gidget and I here. I'm not going to go into all the things that happened so that we could get here this morning, because that would take too long. But that was part of the miracle. And God can do that again. We stand at another opportunity for God to show off and tell us and show us that he is a God who can do the miraculous. You may be going through a personal time of disappointment. And maybe you're standing in front of another water and you need a miracle. Don't let the disappointment cause you to forget what God has done for you in the past. Because the God who's done for you in the past is the same God who will do today. He hasn't somehow lost his power. He hasn't somehow gotten weak. He hasn't gotten tired, nor has he gotten tired of you. You're his child. He loves you. He's going to move in your behalf. Look at verse 24 and 25. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses did what? He cried out to the Lord. Anytime you see that phrase, cried out to the Lord, in the Bible, it means the person who cried out to the Lord took prayer seriously. It wasn't like, you know, the prayer that we may say before we eat and we're really hungry and we just want to say it and get it over and eat. No, when you cry out before the Lord, that means you cry out before God and you call upon him because you are desperate. You've often heard me call those kind of people spiritual desperados. You see them throughout the Bible, right? Desperate people who cry out to God and God hears their prayer. Jesus even told stories like that, like the woman whose son was in trouble, and she goes to the wicked judge and she bangs and cries out and cries out and cries out till finally the judge hears and answers, and he says, if a wicked judge will do that, how much more will you, God, do that? That if we cry out to him, we can have an answer. He will answer us. I love the fact that there's going to be an opportunity every Sunday for our church to cry out to God at 10:15. Because it gives us an opportunity to say, God, we can't do this, but you can. You can provide the right pastor for us. We're going to cry out to you. Matter of fact, if you can't make it 10:15, you need to make it a matter of prayer. As a church, we all need to be praying, saying, God, we need you. We need your help through this. What must we do? We must be like Moses. We must cry out to God. We must be asking him to help. Verse 25. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. That is strange. That is really weird. So a tree branch fell down somewhere, and they went and grabbed the tree branch, and they threw it in the water, and all of a sudden it became good to drink. Isn't that strange? Like, if you would have told them to gather water and put it in a pot and boil it, and then drink it, we go, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. But nobody goes and gets wood and throws it into the water, and all of a sudden you got clean drinking water, right? That doesn't make sense. Sometimes God's answers don't make sense. Sometimes you think it's strange. You don't even see how this could have came about or how this could have happened. Because God's ways are not our ways. Isn't that true? Isaiah 55, I probably quoted this several times since I've been here, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God may have someone in mind that we have no idea who they are yet. We may think we had the plan all figured out, and God has the plan figured out. I mean, Joseph in the Bible. You don't go from being forgotten in a prison in Egypt to the second in command. That's not man's way, but that was God's way. God put him in a prison. And then from the prison, he became second in command. You don't go from being a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee to being one of the leaders of the church. But that was God's plan for Peter. What I'm saying this morning is God's ways are not always our ways. And we must remember, when we become disappointed, it is because we forget what God has done for us in the past. Two things, and then I'm going to close. Two things that we need to apply to our lives when it comes to disappointment. Number one is to give thanks. What will turn disappointment around is to stop and to remember the good things that you're thankful for. How many of you like to see how low you can go with your gas tank? How low can you go? Oh, I see one. Yeah, yeah. And probably, Dom, every time you get in the car, it's always on empty, right? Yeah, so you have to fill it up. Yeah. I was going with two engineers down in Florida about a month and a half ago after their Hurricane Milton, and we were headed down there. And on the way down, we had a young engineer with us, and he wanted to see how low we could go with the gas. The older engineer, he was getting nervous the whole time. Now, I wasn't nervous because I've driven that road many times. I know where every gas station is. So, like, I knew where the gas station was coming up. But I like watching the older man sweat as the younger guy kept saying, oh, we can make it a few more miles. It's not, oh, it's just on the yellow yet. We got time. Let's keep driving. And so I knew we were coming up to a good gas station with a good bathroom. I said, oh, but I got to go to the bathroom. So that tops it all. We got to stop. That's one thing with your gas tank, to let it go as low as you can. But I'm going to tell you something. I know this sounds contradictory, and it's really hard to do. But when you feel like you're getting low inside, your soul's getting low, you feel like you're getting drained, or you're facing disappointment, the natural thing is to do what the Israelites did and complain and whine and talk about all the things that we don't have or don't or need or whatever. The spiritual response, what will encourage your soul, is to go back and remember the good times, the good things that God has done for you, and give Him thanks. So entering into Thanksgiving this week, it's one of the things that ought to refuel our soul as we pause and give God thanks for what He has done in our lives. To give God thanks for what He has done in our church over the last 5 years. From where we were when I came to where we are now is a tremendous change because of God. Those we baptized, we're thankful for. Those who came to salvation, we're thankful for. Those that, you know, whose lives have been touched, or maybe you've been encouraged by a word, we're thankful for, right? It's stopping and giving God thanks. I'm very thankful for you. Because when I left our church in Greer, it wasn't because I wanted to. It's because I had to. And I had to give up something I love doing. And you said, I'll take a chance and let you be our pastor. And you gave me almost 6 years to preach again. And tell you what, next Sunday's going to be really hard for me. Because I won't be able to get up and share my heart with what I've discovered from God's Word that week and give to you. But this time, I know where God is calling and leading me. But what helps me is saying, God, thank you. Because every time I see your face in my thoughts, I give God thanks. I don't go, oh, no. Really do love each and every one of you. And I give God thanks for allowing my life and Gidget's life to cross path with you. And like I said, hopefully this won't be the last time you see us. Hopefully when we leave, you don't say, Pastor, now you're going, get out of here. But what I've learned is that giving thanks helps. Matter of fact, Asaph, in Psalm 73, the psalmist Asaph, he describes he was going through a really rough period, a really hard time in Psalm 73. And then towards the end, like many of the psalms, he stops and gives God thanks. He says this in verse 23, yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Asaph stopped and gave God praise and thanks. When you catch yourself beginning to complain because you're disappointed or murmur, stop and give God praise. Stop and give God thanks. It's how you refresh your soul. Second thing is something that I hope by now you've gotten in your spirit. Remember, you're loved by God. The best way to defeat discouragement is to remember how much God loves you, that you always stay focused on that truth. Do you know that God does love you? Maybe you heard that truth before in your life. But if you know God loves you, do you sense His love and recognize His love in your life? Because when you stop believing God loves you, you're quick to get discouraged. You're quick to get defeated. Because if you don't believe God's love, then you can forget His grace and His mercy towards you. In 2 Corinthians 4:1, I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, but it says this: "It is God Himself in His mercy who has given us this wonderful work of telling the good news to others. So we never give up." We're not going to give up. We still have a mission to tell others of God's good news. This church is here to tell others of God's good news. We're not going to give up. But it says, it is God Himself in His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. Mercy is when God knows every mistake you made and ever will make. And He gives you, and yet He still gives you every good thing in your life. God's mercy keeps you going when hopelessness, or you're worn down, or you're discouraged. That's why David said in Psalm 23, you know, at the end, His mercy will follow me all my days of my life. You know, a lot of people have been Christians for a long time, but they don't sense God's love. Because the only think God speaks to them is through a critical voice. But if the voice you're listening to is always negative, it's not God. Do you understand God created you to love you? He created you so that He could love you. You're His child. That is your identity. Don't ever forget that you belong to Him. So don't leave here today disappointed. Remember the main point. We become disappointed when we forget what God has done for us in the past. God is going to provide. Just as God provided a lamb for Abraham, God will provide for our church. Remember the application today. Give thanks. When you get discouraged, give thanks. And then remember, you're loved by God.